Chapter 6, in which Jared fulfills the Pooka's prediction. Across the grove, the branches parted and three beings stepped out from the trees. They were about Mallory's size, with freckled skin browned by sunlight. The first was a woman with apple-green eyes and a green sheen across her shoulders and at her temples. Leaves were tangled in her tousled hair. The second was a man with what looked like small horns along his brow. His skin was flushed a deeper green than the woman's skin, and he held a gnarled staff in his hands. The third elf had thick red hair woven with red berries and two large seed pods that stuck up on either side of his head. His skin was brown, speckled with red at his throat. "These are elves?" Simon asked. "No one has followed this path for a long time," said the green-eyed elf as though no one had spoken. She held her head high, like one accustomed to being obeyed. "All who might have stumbled into this grove have been led astray, but here they are. How curious." "The grass," Jared whispered to his brother. "They must have it," the red-haired elf declared to his companions. "How else would they come this way? How else would they discover the means to stay on the path?" He turned to the three children. "I am Lauren Gorm. We would bargain with you." "For what?" Jared asked, hoping his voice wouldn't shake. The elves were beautiful, but the only emotion he could read on their faces was a strange hunger that unnerved him. "You want your freedom," said the elf with what looked like horns. Jared realized they were actually leaves. "We want Arthur's book."
"Freedom from what?" Mallory asked.
The leaf-horned elf indicated the border of trees with one hand and smiled an unkind smile. "We will guest you until you tire of our hospitality."
"Arthur didn't give you the book. Why should we?" Jared hoped they couldn't tell he was guessing.
The leaf-horned elf sniffed. "We have long known that mankind is brutal. Once, at least, humans were ignorant. Now we would keep knowledge of our existence from you to protect ourselves. You cannot be trusted. You cleave the forests."
Lauren Gorm scowled and his eyes flashed.
"Poison the rivers, hunt the griffins from the skies, and the serpents from the seas. Imagine what you could do if you knew all of our weaknesses."
"But we never did any of those things," said Simon.
"And no one even believes in fairies," Jared said. He thought of Lucinda. "No one sane, anyway."
Lauren Gorm's laugh sounded hollow.
"There are few enough fairies left to believe in. We make our homes in the sparse forest left to us. Soon even those will be gone."
The green-eyed elf lifted one hand toward the woven wall of branches.
"Let me show you."
Jared noticed all types of fairies sitting in the circle of trees, peering through the gaps in the wood. Their black eyes glittered, their wings buzzed, and their mouths moved, but none entered the grove. It felt like a trial, with the elves acting as both judge and jury. Then a few branches untwined, and something else stepped through. It was white and the size of a deer. Its fur was ivory, and its long mane hung in tangles. The horn that jutted from its forehead was twisted to an end that looked sharp. It lifted its wet nose and scented the air. As it approached them, the valley went quiet. Even the creature's own steps were noiseless. It didn't look at all tame. Mallory stepped toward it, tilting her head slightly and extending her hand. "Mallory," Jared warned, "don't!"
But she was beyond hearing, stretching out her fingers to pet the creature's flank. It stayed completely still, and Jared was afraid to even breathe as Mallory stroked the unicorn's side, then tangled her hand in its mane. As she did, the bone horn touched her forehead and her eyes closed. Then her whole body began to tremble.
"Mallory," Jared said.
Beneath the lids, Mallory's eyes darted back and forth as though she were dreaming. Then she staggered to her knees. Jared ran forward to grab her. Simon was only a step behind him. When Jared touched Mallory, he was drawn into the vision.
Everything soundless. Knots of blackberry bushes. Men on horseback. lean dogs with red tongues. A glimmer of white, and a unicorn bursts through the glade, legs already dark with mud. Arrows fly, burying themselves in white flesh. The unicorn bellows and goes down in a cloud of leaves. Dog teeth rip skin. A man with a knife hacks the horn from the head while the unicorn is still moving. The images came faster then, more disjointed. A girl in a colorless gown, urged on by hunters, lures the unicorn closer. One stray arrow knocks her to the ground. She falls, pale arms slung over pale flank. Both are still. Then hundreds of gory horns, shaped into goblets, crushed into charms and powders. White pelt streaked with blood, stacked in a pile, buzzing with black flies. Jared pulled free of the dream, his stomach heaving. To his surprise, Mallory was crying, her tears darkening the white fur. Simon put an awkward hand on the unicorn's side. The unicorn tipped its head forward, nuzzling Mallory's hair with its lips. "It really likes you," Simon said. He looked a little annoyed. Animals usually liked him best. Mallory shrugged. "I'm a girl." "We know what you saw," the leaf-horned elf said. "Give us the guide. It must be destroyed." "What about the goblins?" demanded Jared. "What of them? The goblins love your world," said Lorngorm. "Your machines and poisons have made a haven for their kind."
"You seemed fine with using them to try to take the book from us," Jared said.
"We?" asked the green-eyed elf, her eyes wide and her mouth hard. "You think that we would send such sentries? It is Mulgarath that commands them."
"Who is Mulgarath?"
Mallory stood up, still petting the unicorn absently.
"An ogre," said Lorngorm. "He has been gathering goblins to him and making pacts with dwarves. We think he wants Arthur Spiderwick's guide for himself."
"Why?" Jared asked. "Don't you know everything that's inside it?" The elves exchanged uncomfortable glances. Finally, the leaf-horned elf spoke.
"We make art. We do not feel the need to cut things apart to see what they're made of. What Arthur Spiderwick did, none of our kind would do."
The green-eyed elf put a hand on the other elf's shoulder. "What he means is that there may be things in the guide that we do not know." Jared thought for a moment. "So you don't really care about humans getting Arthur's field guide? You just don't want Mulgarath to have it."
"The book is dangerous in anyone's hands," said the green-eyed elf. "There is too much knowledge therein. Give it over to us. It will be destroyed and you will be rewarded."
Jared held out his hands.
"We don't have it," he said. "We couldn't give it to you if we wanted to."
The leaf-horned elf shook his head and slammed the butt of his staff.
"You lie!"
"We really don't have it," said Mallory. "Honest."
Lorngorm raised a single red brow.
"Then where is it?"
"We think the house brownie has it," Simon put in, "but we're not sure."
"You lost it?" the green-eyed elf gasped.
"Thimbletack probably has it," Jared said in a small voice.
"We have tried to be reasonable," said the leaf-horned elf. "Humans are faithless."
"Faithless?" Jared repeated. "How do we know we can trust you?"
He snatched the map from Simon and held it up for the elves to see.
"We found this. It was Arthur's. It looks like he came here, and I guess he met you. I want to know what you did with him."
"We spoke with Arthur," said the leaf-horned elf. "He thought to trick us. He had sworn he would destroy the guide, and he came to our meeting with a bag of blackened paper and ashes. But he lied. He had burned another book. The guide remained unharmed."
"We honor our word," said the green-eyed elf. "Though it be bitter, we fulfill our pledges. We have no sympathy for those who would deceive us."
"What did you do?" asked Jared.
"We kept him from doing further harm," said the green-eyed elf. "Now you have come," said the leaf-horned elf, "and you will bring us the guide."
Lorngorm waved his hand, and pale roots crept from the ground. Jared cried out, but his voice was lost in the creaking of branches and shuffling of leaves. The trees were untwining, their limbs moving back into natural shapes. But dirty, hairy roots climbed Jared's legs and held him. "Bring us the guide, or your brother will remain trapped forever in Faerie," said the leaf-horned elf. Jared had no doubt that he meant it.